This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to episode 6 of my podcast. My name is Juno Leenaerts and I've been developing iOS apps for over 8 years and I'm running the Dutch GoCat for over 7. In this episode, I'm going to talk about the interesting news and articles of the last 7 days. I will also share some information about my mailing list. I've been working on it over the weekend to make sure that I switched from MailChimp to Sendy, and this gives me more control over the data. In my newsletter, I will also share future plans for my podcast. Later this week, I will publish my interview with Pedro Piñera. 2 weeks from now, I will be publishing my interview with Daniel Steinberg, and after that, the interview with Alan Shapiro. I also have a number of recordings planned already with other people from the iOS developer community. Amongst them are Paul Hudson, Pavel Madej, Anastasia Vojtova, Yuri Karabatov, Leo G. Dion, and I will do my first double interview with Nandini Chauhan and Pim Stolk. They're both from the Dutch ING Bank. There's also something interesting going on with the interview I'm planning with Yuri Karabatov. Yuri Karabatov is working on his book about developing yourself from a junior developer to a senior developer. And I'm looking into people who want to join me on my discussion with Yuri so that we have a sort of panel discussion on this topic. So if you are interested, this is a shout out. Please get in touch and maybe we'll talk to each other on this special episode. Also, please follow me on Twitter. My handle there is appforce1. If you have feedback, put it on my Twitter as a DM or as an ad mention, or even better, put it in my SpeakPipe, speakpipe.com/appforce1. Even before I started podcasting, something that I was always very adamant about has been my personal backups. For years, I've been using Backblaze for my backups. If you want an automatic backup of all your data and unlimited file types, backup connected external USB drives, then definitely have a look at Backblaze. They've never failed me and I've been able to upload all my backup data to their cloud solution. It's been wonderful. I highly recommend them, and if you want to have a look at them, please use my affiliate link in my show notes, because if you sign up through that link, you will actually help support my podcast. Now let's look at the news of last week. Let's begin with Apple. Apple has announced 2 things. They announced the App Store Small Business Program and they announced subscription offer codes. Let's begin with the App Store Small Business Program. Basically what it means that if you are an existing or a new developer and you make $1 million in proceeds or less, you can apply for a special discount on your commission rate. So in what this basically means that instead of a 30% cut, Apple will take a 15% cut on the proceeds of your apps or in-app purchases. Obviously, there are some details involved, so definitely read up on the details that Apple has posted on their website. And they also announced that they will provide further details as the date draws nearer, because this is a program that starts at January 1st, 2021. I think it's an interesting move by Apple. It's also interesting that this lines up the commission rate, 15%, with the commission rate that you get on subscriptions that are longer than 1 year. And there are some different opinions on this move by Apple, but overall I think this is a good thing because this allows small app developers to have a better chance of being successful. What Apple also announced is subscription offer codes. You can now create subscription offer codes to acquire and retain and win back subscribers. This is the Apple blurb. Basically, what this means is that you can provide special discounts to get new customers or to win back customers that have left your product. So I think this is a good move by Apple in general, because this allows more avenues for developers to win and gain back customers. Ashkat Patel has published an article on converting a PDF to an image in Swift. According to Ashkat, converting a PDF file to an image is a common use case for any app that displays PDFs. You might want to display an image representation of a PDF's file pages at different resolutions. Now, Apple, of course, has a rich history of supporting PDF files that dates back to the old NextStep days. And as such, iOS has a lot of support built in for PDF, actually. And what Ashkat tries to do in his article is show you what's actually already available in iOS in PDF Kit. And PDF Kit is the Apple native framework for handling PDF files. PDF Kit is built on top of Core Graphics, so you should expect decent performance. All in all, Ashkat provides a lot of sample code and some explanation on how and why you should actually do certain things in a certain way, and also make sure that you have your coordinate system correct. Now, obviously, PS PDF Kit knows a thing or two about handling PDF files, and they also obviously explain that PDF Kit by Apple is quite low level, and that they have a very nice solution available for you to actually use a higher level API, which is, of course, PSPDFKit. Sarun is back with an interesting article with scaling custom fonts automatically with dynamic type. As we all know, all text that you display in your app is rendered using fonts. And a feature that's not used by all apps out there is dynamic type. Dynamic type basically is a way for the text that's being displayed to be scaled according to the user's preference. Now, why is this important? Of course, for accessibility. In his article, Sarun details ways that you can actually use a custom font and use the dynamic type feature of the iOS platform. That way, your app can be responsive to user preferences, especially if there's an accessibility need by the end user. And all in all, it's a good thing to support in your app. So definitely have a read on Sarun's article. It's a nice explanation on how you can actually achieve nice results with dynamic type and a custom font. Over at Swift.org, an interesting new library was announced, Swift Neo SSH. It's an open source project for the Swift server ecosystem. Swift Neo SSH is a programmatic implementation of SSH. It's a collection of APIs that allow you to implement SSH speaking endpoints, so you can use it for the client side and the server side. They do note on their blog post that Swift Neo SSH does not ship production-ready SSH clients or servers, and that it only provides the building blocks for building a client or server. I think Swift Neo SSH will enable some interesting integrations that are based on the SSH protocol as a network layer. Filip Nemeček wrote an article about the anatomy of a collection view using compositional layout. Since iOS 13, the new collection view compositional layout has been available, and it's a big change compared to the old way of creating complex collection view layouts. It's a more declarative approach to building complex layouts, and because iOS 13 is now becoming the minimum deployment target for a lot of projects and apps out there, I think it's good to start looking into these newer APIs that were released in iOS 13. The advantage of using collection views with compositional layout is that it's way more declarative and that it reduces the complexity of all the boilerplate code that you need to actually lay out a collection view. Of course, things still remain at somewhat a complex level, but at least the stuff is more manageable now. In his blog post, Philip explains what the different classes are that are involved with using a collection view with compositional layout. He provides a nice example and some details on the building blocks that are related to creating a layout in this fashion. It's a basic introductory article, but I think we should keep an eye out on Philip's blog for more posts on this topic. I also wanted to share a quick tip by Dan Moran from his Six Colors blog. You can actually enable Touch ID for sudo operations on your terminal. So if you if you'd like to not enter your password every single time that you use sudo, definitely have a look at this blog post, because with this tip you can actually use sudo and Touch ID in combination so that you don't have to type your password every single time. One last news item I want to mention is the Empower Apps podcast. They just released their second part of the interview they had with Antoine van der Lee. In this second part of the interview with Antoine, they talk about how to upgrade older apps piece by piece, how you can support older OSs, and bug tracking and logging. Definitely have a listen to this podcast. And just as a little secret, Leo and I have also planned to do an interview with each other sometime in the future. On Monday morning, Donny has also published his weekly Monday morning tweet. And there's already a lot of feedback rolling in on this tweet. Petrina will continue the Swift UI tutorial she's working on, and she's writing some unit tests for a project. Tony Vladušić has just shipped his Colors One app last week, and he's now trying to get people to download it, and maybe even get some ratings and reviews on it. Laurent is having an iOS interview tomorrow, and he's preparing himself, and he's hoping that he gets good results from this interview. And Thomas Vater released a new update for his indie app Signal Path. Cocoaheads NL has released the video of the talk by Axel Roost on full stack Swift with Arduino. This month, Axel has given a presentation at the local Cocoaheads NL meetup about using Swift full stack on an Arduino platform. It was an interesting talk. I must say, Axel was a bit nervous when he got started, but once he started getting into the techie details, he quickly settled down a bit, and he gave a very interesting talk about the topic. Have a look at the YouTube video, linked from the show notes. This episode, I don't have a conference that I'm going to recommend, because December is always a slow month for conferences, and people are more inclined to actually look at Thanksgiving, Christmas, and all the holidays and vacations that happen in the December month. So when we get to January, we can look at more conferences again. I got an interesting question for Coaching for Free this week. I got asked, how can I be a better team member? The question is based in the fact that this individual is getting feedback from his environment that he should be a better team member, but they're not giving him any clear guidelines on what this would be. The best advice that I could give is to just listen. And I know this is hard, but listening involves a lot of keeping quiet without making it awkward, but usually remaining silent when you're talking to somebody and just show an interest by looking at the person that's talking will actually allow the other person to explain more and to tell more about the topic at hand. And if you just let them talk, quite often people just tell you what they need. You don't need to ask, you just need to talk to them and let them do the talking for you. And most likely, the amount of time that you have to remain silent when talking to somebody is quite a lot longer than you might think. If somebody's giving you an answer, before asking the next question, wait like 2, 3, maybe 4 seconds, and quite often people will just continue what they were actually talking about in their initial answer, and they will probably give you a lot more detail and information. Now, at this point, you're not there yet. Of course, you need to do something with the stuff that they tell you. So take notes and then reply back to them what they actually told you. Just in your own words, tell them what you think they've told you and let them say if that's correct or not, and then actually follow up on what they told you. I think if you do that, you will score much better on your next performance review on being a team player. If there's anything you need some help with or anything that you'd like me to provide some insights on, please put it in my SpeakPipe. SpeakPipe.com/AppForce1, and I will try my best to give you a good answer that will actually help you in your day-to-day life. And that's it for this week. If you have any feedback and you like my show, please subscribe in your favorite podcast app of choice. Also rate me on Apple Podcasts. I haven't received much reviews yet, but every single review counts. And if you can review my podcast, please do. Also consider signing up for my new newsletter. It's a once a month thing I'm going to send out at the moment. And I'd like to inform you on how my podcast is doing, what my plans are for the future, and also the thoughts and ideas on a book I want to write. So please sign up at appforce1.net. If there's any feedback you'd like to give, please message me on Twitter or leave a voicemail at speakpipe.com/appforce1. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net. apple.net/leaddeveloper, all one word.